The Major Demand of the End, Part 6. This message was originally preached by Brother Amos on Sunday morning, August 11, 2024, at Seoul, New Jersey, USA. It is the sixth part of this scribe series and the fourth segment in the breakdown of this Sunday morning service message. It is an exceptional labor of love, presenting God-sending logistics of redemption. Church, I greet every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. May God richly bless you as you study this scribe, wisely centering it with the Holy Bible, so you can be solidly grounded in this key truth, for it is the gospel truth. We have been given the infallible plumb line of the Holy Scriptures, with which to center all things, so we do not kick against the pricks, or like ignorant Saul of Tarsus. Ye be found even to fight against God. Acts chapter 9 verses 1 to 5, Acts chapter 5 verses 38 to 39. The Lord expects us to be like the Berean Christians who knew just how to censor all things by the Holy Scriptures, that by confirming what they had heard, they would be established only in the truth. Acts chapter 17 verses 10 to 12. Brothers and sisters, we will simply continue from where we left off in our message, titled, The Major Demand of the End, from where we left off. In part 5 of this scribe series, we ended with the declaration of an absolute divine fact that the ark of the end time John, a spiritual ark, is the ark of Jesus Christ, just as the ark of Noah, a physical ark, was the ark of Almighty God. What you must all realize, a divine fact apostate Christendom is not considering, is that at the end of the second world, our world, this world, we are facing the ark of rapture. It is the ark of unparalleled and magnificent light of Christ, the pre-revealed word ark. The Spirit of God has commissioned the end time John, the third and last household scribe of Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, to construct. We had Enoah, a preacher of righteousness, at the end of the first world, in the day of unending evil and violence, and so likewise, today, we also have Enoah, John, a preacher of righteousness, at the end of the second world, our world, this world of gross religious apostasy and global open rebellion, outclassing both the days of Noah and Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, Luke chapter 17, verses 26 to 30. Today, saints of God, unbeknown to the entire religious world, at this end of the second world, Christendom is faced with a rapture move on earth, a great work for the rapture, giving us the ark of rapture, Jesus Christ in his Bible message of completeness. This leads me to share a pertinent dream I received from one of our brothers in Port Harcourt, Nigeria, right after I had preached the concluding part of the video message, titled, It's Home Going Time, on Sunday, the 27th of October 2024, at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos. It is a message I took during the meetings in Benin City, in Edo State, Nigeria, which I concluded at BFT. The dream, which was sent as an SMS text, reads, and please note that all emphasis is mine. Shalom, Brother Amos. Good evening, sir. This is Brother Francis Njoku from Restored Faith Assembly, Port Harcourt. I had a dream I want to relate to you. This dream happened in 2021. It's a dream that can't go away from my memory. But something sprang the dream up today while you were preaching, when you quoted Luke 17:26, and you said something. When you said, another Noah is on ground building the spiritual ark, who is John. Now this is a dream. We were like in a global convention. In that convention, we were in a big hall, and the entrance of that hall was on the west of the hall, with the congregation facing the east, and the pulpit was facing the congregation. Back in the east side of the hall. That hall is like an ark on top of water, but in that ark, there is nothing like an engine room, just a hall. When you climbed the pulpit to preach to the congregation, they gave you a microphone to talk with. When you held the microphone was okay, but when you put it to your mouth, the microphone didn't work, and this happened 3 times. That was when everyone was worried why the microphone didn't work. Then the engineer started running around to check the fault of the microphone. When they gave you the microphone the 4th time, and the microphone refused to work, you smiled, and said something. We don't need this microphone anymore. Then you began to preach without the use of a microphone. While you were preaching, people were making noise. Then I stepped outside the ark to tell them to stop making noise. Then suddenly, as I was coming back to the ark began to move on top of the water towards the east. Then I looked. There was no engine making the ark to move, and there was nothing dragging or pulling it. Immediately the ark began to ascend up, and that was when I realized that there was a divine power making it to go up, and it was then I realized that it was a rapture. I wanted to jump inside the ark, and then a voice told me to stop, that I should avoid distraction, not to miss the rapture. While you were still preaching in the ark, I woke up from the dream. What a dream! Let me explain a very crucial scenario we have in this dream to you. Remember, Brother Francis said I was given the microphone thrice, and it did not work, and at the fourth time, it still did not work, but then I simply smiled, and declared that I did not need the microphone anymore, and I started preaching without the use of a microphone, right in the ark. Brothers and sisters, we all know that a microphone is used to amplify someone's voice whilst preaching, and that speaks of the medium of the Scribe magazine, the concluding medium of truth. This scenario is prophetic because Brother Francis had the dream back in 2021, and it simply shows that with the ark being completed, we will no longer need to produce scribes to amplify or to carry the message of the word of Christ from thence, but it will be solely oracular preaching, as it will be a lived ministry. This is because the Scribe magazine has served its divine objective or purpose as a divine medium conveying the message of revelational completeness to the universal nation of the Royal Word Bride, as well as being the divine medium or vehicle for obtaining revelational unity. As these objectives have been served and they are completed, it will be a live ministry, live preaching from there on, as the Spirit of God will put His original seed efficient fire for ministry together for a quick short walk right through to the coming hour of the seven prophetic thunders. Period. That was why in the dream, the microphone did not work, and it would not have worked no matter how many times it was given to me, because I was standing to preach in the completed ark, a junction of time which demands live preaching. That is the junction we are entering into, by the grace of God, right after this final scribe session concludes. This will lead me to sound this warning, because in the dream, people were outside the ark, making noise, oblivious to the serious reality of what was going on in the ark and what was just about to take place. You do not want to wake up when it is too late, as they did back in the days of Noah, and as they also did back in the days of Lot. Please, make hay whilst the sun shines. Walk in the light, whilst it is still day, when the door of the ark is still open. The greatest emotional torture and enduring pain you can have, a torture that will constantly gnaw at you, and will never go away, as its worm does not die, is to know that you had the opportunity to be in the ark of eternal life, the rapture ark, John's ark, and you still miss it. The fact that you were not ignorant, but you knew the truth, having come so close, and for so long, and yet, you still miss the rapture, is a torture that will never wane. The pain will never go away. It is for this extremely serious reason, I implore you one and all, please, enter the ark of rapture, for the door is wide open, and do not play games with the word of life, otherwise, you will lose. You can be in this move of John, and be fooling yourself, having only a religious spirit like Cain. You can be in this move of John, and be busy doing everything else, except what matters, which is to rob your soul with the marvelous light of Christ. You can be in this move of John, and yet, still be running after the vanities of life, the pride of life, chasing the American dream, choking your own spirituality, completely oblivious to what the day is saying, merely deceiving yourself. You can be in this move of John, and all you want is to do for God, always wanting to do something for God, rather than entering the ark. You can be in this move of John, and pay no attention to the current message of Christ, for that is the ark, bearing our revelations, as Jesus Christ honestly implored the children of Israel. In John chapter 6, verse 27, I equally implore, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Please, see just how late the day is and just how extremely evil the day is and know what it demands, for it is home-going time. Church, the very fact that in the dream, the ark began to move under water and then lift up clearly shows that at that material future time, we have entered the fourth move of God, being strictly a prophetic move, which is that of the seven thunders, the divine season when the rapture will take place. That is when the ark will move visibly underwater, demonstrating that it is a living ark through the coming visible, stupendous, and incomparable miraculous move of God before taking off, powered, and lifted by the latter rain. Do not forget, brothers and sisters, that in this Laodicean age, the beginning move of God for the universal world bride was through the end-time Gentile Elijah prophet. It was followed by that of the end-time Apostle Paul, succeeded by that of the end-time Apostle John, and the next move of God for the royal world bride is that of the seven thunders, a prophetic move of God which still has John as their lead. That was precisely why the ark started moving on the water, and then it immediately began to lift up in the rapture. We all know by the infallible revelation of the Holy Scriptures that we are going up right under the prophetic ministry of the seven prophetic thunders. For what began in Genesis with prophets ends in Revelation with prophets. For as it is written, our God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. What a most glorious ending that will be to God's great plan of redemption when we are caught up, translated to heaven. However, remember what Brother Francis was also shown in his dream. As you want to take honest heed, then you, Brother Amos, began to preach without the use of a microphone. While you were preaching, people were making noise, paying no attention. This is a serious divine warning, and some, no doubt, will fall into this sad category. What a pivotal junction of time this is for anyone to be distracted and be left behind whilst following this ending move of Jesus Christ for his elect bride. Elohim speaks to us in dreams and visions and sometimes through audible voices to give divine instruction to his elect seeds. As such, this dream should let you realize, saints of God, that we have truly entered a very critical junction of time in this last age of Christendom, particularly in this move of John, the Lord's last Gentile scribe, the builder of the Ark of Rapture. Consequently, you have to pay very close attention as the Spirit of the Lord continues to unveil his current mind to us, because you have come too far down the road and too close to the end to miss the rapture and fall by the wayside. Do not forget the door into the bride's chamber, the engagement chamber, the door of divine accessibility to the present and concluding message of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible, conveyed in the parable of the 10 virgins, recorded in Matthew chapter 25, verse 10, which the royal bride is being richly and beautifully adorned with in full readiness for the rapture, will not always remain open. Accessibility to this message of rapture will most certainly be closed just down the road to allow those who have newly come in this arc of magnificent light to seriously catch up, possessing a God-given voracious appetite for Christ's pure revealed faith, the present truth, the present and concluding truth, which covers a great expanse and an incredible depth of the revelation of the Holy Bible, given by the Spirit of God in the past near 60 years. As I must keep reiterating, if you are not established in the present and concluding truth, in this message of revelational completeness, you will just not be in the royal word bride, because she has a divine standard of readiness she must and will attain. Thus saith the Lord God in his holy word. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 17 to 19, Ephesians chapter 5 verses 26 to 27, and Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. This is clearly not a game, and you just cannot coast along, having a lackadaisical attitude to reveal truth, and yet still attain the divine standard of the bride at the same time. The choice is yours. Let me remind you of something, because the stakes are even higher today, standing here at the same time. Noah was in the ark and had been sealed in the ark for 7 clear days, ever before the rain started, speaking of the 7 church ages we have in this New Testament dispensation, after which the fire of God's judgment will equally fall. Consequently, in that period of time when Noah entered the ark, and the door was shut, even though the rain had not started, nevertheless, everyone had already been sealed into their respective slots. Remember, it was not Noah who shut the door, but it was the Lord God Almighty who shut the door of the ark. And when God shut the door of the ark of the new world, the second world, no one else could enter that ark thereafter. It is exactly the same today, because just down the road, without any announcement, and unbeknown to humanity, and unbeknown especially to the religious world, apostate Christendom, the Spirit of God will shut the door of accessibility into this ark of glory land, heaven, making it totally impossible for anyone to come in thereafter, to be bride. Back then, when Jehovah closed the door of the ark, even though the rain did not fall until 7 days thereafter, the line had already been crossed, and it will be the same today. For this fundamental and critical reason, it will not matter how many of them claim to believe the Bible message of the end time John, or see this great light, after the door of this ark of Christ has been shut, as it will be too late. Matthew chapter 25 verse 10. You can only rightly believe today, whilst the door of this ark of rapture is still open. Think seriously about that, because we are facing an extremely serious reality today, right here at the end of this second world. We are back to the repeat of the days of Noah, and the whole of Christendom is equally faced with the ark of rapture, which the end-time lead Apostle John has built for the translation of the royal word bride under divine commission. In this scribe message, we are only naming this ark as the ark of heaven, putting Christendom on notice that there is an ark, the ark of rapture, and it is Christ's Bible message of completeness. Brothers and sisters, we are most clearly back to the days of Noah, as history keeps repeating itself, where the religious world, Christendom, just cannot see what God is doing today, and hence, they similarly ridicule, malign, condemn, and reject the ark and its builder, John, just as they did Noah. Back then, no doubt, they would have likened Noah to Enoch, who they erroneously believe came to a sad and mysterious end for making himself the dispensational messenger of God, particularly as Enoch's body was never found by the search party that was dispatched to look for him. Saints, they knew everything about Noah, particularly when he was growing up, including his shortcomings, for they had stories to tell, and consequently, as far as they were concerned, Noah could not possibly be the messenger of God to their generation, let alone for Noah's ark to be the ark of God. They did not understand God's grace and his elective love, neither did they understand the sovereignty of God. And it is exactly the same today. I repeat, nevertheless, for necessary emphasis, for whosoever has ears to hear, at this junction of time, in this Laodicean age, at the end of the second world, which we have portrayed on our charts, Christendom is also faced with the ark of Jesus Christ, which the end time John is building. Let me warn, because you must see the marked difference, and please hear me loud and clear. This is not the ark of Bishop David Oyedepo of Winners Chapel, Utah, Ogun State, Nigeria. The ark of Bishop Oyedepo is a magnificent canal ark, a stadium-like physical ark, made up of concrete, iron, and glass, a marvel of ancient earring, a monster U.S. modern-day Roman Colosseum that is going nowhere, as highly impressive as it is, being only one man's Tower of Babel. Consequently, it is most certainly going to come down a very bitter truth, because it will be destroyed on the day of the Lord, which is not even far away, seeing that we are most certainly at the end, and we even have the projection of time. This is because our God is not in any physical building, and neither is he constructing a physical building for us Gentiles. However great, however imposing, and however magnificent it may be. See Acts chapter 7 verses 48 to 49, and Acts chapter 17 verses 24 to 25. This is an absolute and scripturally irrefutable divine fact, no matter how much these men may attach the name of God to their empire building, for legitimacy, attributing their covetous and glory-seeking enterprises to God, when Almighty God is not even involved in their rat race, in their empire building, but he is exclusively in his word, in his revealed word, period. On the other hand, and in total contrast, our ark, the bride ark, the rapture ark, this ark, being the ark of light, absolute light, is all about God's great plan of universal redemption. Hence, it is an ark which holds and conveys Christ's message of completeness, revelational completeness, just as it is fully laid out in the Holy Scriptures, by the Spirit of God. Full stop. This ark is most significantly distinct from the empire building, which all these men are into, a rat race, which, by the grace of God, is a truth we have brought out beautifully in our scribe, titled, A World Deceived by the Church. This is even apart from the very salient fact that there is no spiritual virtue in the physical ark of the so-called Living Faith Church, also known as Winners Chapel. Hence, there is absolutely no eternal life value it gives, which is precisely why it conveys no iota of divine revelation of Jesus Christ, being only the earthly empire of a man. Period. As I stated before, I say again, in total contrast, our ark is strictly a spiritual ark, and it is the ark of revelational completeness, bearing the original and complete apostolic revelation of Jesus Christ, of the New Testament, holding and giving forth an unparalleled light. This ark of John is foreordained by God for the rich and matchless adorning of the universal royal word bride, in full readiness for the rapture, at the soon return of Jesus Christ. Full stop. It is all about the Holy Bible. Period. You want to enter this ark because God is not looking for admirers of truth, admirers of the ministry of truth, who will not enter the ark and be led into all truth, but are only doing their own thing, eventually becoming speechless friends. Luke chapter 11 verses 27 to 28 and Matthew chapter 22 verses 11 to 14. Brothers and sisters, you have to see something, because you do not want to recognize something when it is too late. Many, no doubt, will get hold of the scribes after the bride of Christ is gone, and read, and wonder why they did not see such a deep and extremely plain presentation of the truth of the Holy Bible. But in the day, it will most definitely be too late. They will be facing the Antichrist, the man of sin, the lawless one, the son of perdition, and his mark of the beast. So, you most certainly do not want to see the light when it is too late. Jesus Christ seriously warned in John chapter 12, verses 35 to 36, just as it is written, Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. It is also written in John chapter 9, where Jesus declared in verse 4, I must work the works of him, God, that sent me, while it is day, the night cometh, when no man can walk. And that is the very reason we are now urgently naming this ark with this scribe message, because of a truth, darkness is setting in, and time is running out. Therefore, as the saying goes, make hay whilst the sun shines, because you cannot afford to miss the rapture, at the soon return of Jesus Christ for his elect bride, the elect lady, especially as this is precisely what this move of John is leading straight and directly into. Since, at this end of the grace age, as this is where it all ends, and where Jesus Christ, our royal bridegroom, gets his royal bride, an original seed apostolic church crop, therefore, the mind of the Spirit of Christ has been opened up to us today, on such an incredible scale, and to such an awesome depth, giving us the pure matchless revelation of the Holy Bible. This has lifted us to a different revelational plateau, never before attained, in the entire Gentile dispensation of grace. Consequently, the revelation of the Spirit of Jesus Christ we have received, standing here at this end of the grace age, gives us nothing but unparalleled light, marvelous light. That is why we have the light or the revelation of all ages, beginning from the seed chapter of the Holy Bible, the book of Genesis, all the way to and through the closing chapter of the Holy Bible, the book of Revelation, plus present tense revelations. For Jehovah God always has his present tense mind, which he has opened up to us, relating directly and specifically to the wrapping up of God's great plan of universal redemption, particularly as it relates to the royal bride of Jesus Christ. Consequently, this plan gives us the divine standard of redemption. I will reword it and say it this way, because it is the end that gives us the climax of anything. This divine plan gives us the ultimate standard of redemption. It is what gives us, at this third and final junction of time, the ultimate blueprint of redemption, through which we now possess revelational completeness. That is the reason we now possess the scriptural revelation of Jesus Christ, to an awesome depth, such as has never been attained before, and to an incredible height, that has never been achieved before, as well as to a great length, giving us a huge revelational expanse, that has never been bridged before, with a divine richness that is simply matchless, and a stunning divine brilliance that has never been seen before. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 17 to 19. It is all because of a truth. We are indeed at the end, for this is where it all ends, and is the very reason we now possess all the written divine pieces of God's great, elaborate, and complex puzzle of redemption, and have connected all the dots of truth. You must see where we are in time, within God's great plan of universal redemption, as that is precisely why the Spirit of the Lord is ensuring that the bride of Christ attains the revelational completeness of Jesus Christ, which is what Brother Samuel Reyes called the fullness of Jesus Christ in his message. For all that was in God, he poured into Christ, and all that was in Christ, he likewise poured into the church, so that the church can be a full and complete embodiment of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 10. This enables the royal word bride to possess every iota of divine revelation of Jesus Christ, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, a revelational standard she can now grow into. Consequently, the ending blueprint gives us the ultimate standard, having perfect divine answers to the legitimate Bible questions of the elect children of God around the globe. The ending blueprint of redemption certainly has to carry the divine answers to the legitimate questions of the children of God, just as the message standard Noah bore in the day had the answers to the questions relating to the end of that first world. For this reason, you could not come to Noah in the day and say, "Brother Noah, I have a question concerning the end of this first world," and for Brother Noah to then say, "I have no idea." But rather, Noah would gladly say, "Let me have your question concerning this end." The question would then be given, and the question might well be, "Well, this is my question. Your ark is not big enough to even contain people living in this town, let alone contain the people in the whole earth, and yet, you are asking everyone to enter your ark. How is this possible?" Noah would ask him, "Is that all?" And then his response would be, "That is all of my question, because if God truly wants the whole world to be saved, then your ark, which is clearly too small, would have been a whole lot bigger." To this question, Noah would have simply stated, "That is a nice question, and a nice point you have made. However, you forget that God is omniscient, all-knowing. He knows exactly how many will accept the message of salvation and enter the ark, which is the reason the Lord made me build the ark to contain just a number of those who will accept the message. That is because the all-knowing God, who knows the end from the beginning, knew that the ark would be filled with birds and animals more than with human beings. The size of the ark was really designed more for birds and animals than for men, for human beings. Think about that." Noah would have asked the inquirer, "Are you satisfied? Do you have any other questions?" I am saying all that just to make a very crucial point, and it is, when God anoints a man to carry the standard, which is the blueprint of redemption, you must remember that it is not the standard, it is the revelation standard of Almighty God. For this key reason, he must have the revelational answers to the legitimate questions of God's elect children, all by the investment of grace. Period. It is not for nothing. It is written in the book of Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding," meaning a man endowed with divine understanding, "will draw it out." This simply means he will unravel the divine puzzle, untie any knots, crossing T's and dotting I's, solving the divine problem, perfectly decoding the word, because ability is not of man. Ability is divine, and salvation is also not of man. Your salvation is divine. How many see the point? I am saying all these things to help you see precisely where we are in time, so you can log on to something and enter the ark of rapture. Brothers and sisters, if you can just see what happened back here in the days of Noah, Brother Amos points to the chart, then all you need to do is simply transpose it to this day, this end time. The only difference, however, is that it is much more serious today, for the stakes are higher, being on a spiritual level, because what they had back then was physical salvation. Consequently, when the new world began, which is this second world, and Allah began afresh, Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, along with their families, eventually all went into the ground, for they all died. Are you listening to me? In total contrast, the eternal redemption we have in Jesus Christ is not only going to take us out of the grave, but there are some of you who are listening to me tonight, an elect minority, an elect remnant, that will cheat death, not going in the way of the grave. In other words, there are some of you who are listening to me tonight, and some of you who are reading this scribe, an elect remnant, whom God will give the great privilege as living saints, to beat death, and hence, you will go from mortality to immortality. You will not know what it is to die, and to be put in the ground, for it is a privilege of the end, of this end, the end of the second world, because of where we are in time, being harvest time. Please note that I am not saying or implying in any way that Noah and his sons, along with their families, were not resurrected with Christ, along with all the Old Testament saints, because they most certainly were. I am only making a point about those who will have the great privilege, which only two men, Enoch and Elijah the Tishbite, have had, of being translated straight to heaven, cheating both death and the grave, a great privilege which the message of Noah did not confer on anyone, Noah and his family, being a type of the tribulation saints. Today, brothers and sisters, at the end of the second world, which we have portrayed right here on our chart, Brother Amos points to the chart, we are faced with the rapture, and as such, we also have the Ark of Heaven, the Ark of Christ, which the end time John has built, and is now naming, speaking typologically. You must know that the enormous depth and expanse, the immense purity, and the great clarity of the revelational understanding a man possesses, and dishes out to the elect bright seeds of God, laying out God's great, elaborate, and complex plan of universal redemption, and unveiling it in its nitty-gritty details, making it extremely plain for the eagles of God to see and possess, is what reveals him as the end-time lead apostle John. For his presentation of truth, as Apostle Paul claimed, is also not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect, meaning that it is not with oracular sophistry or with highfalutin language, but it is presented in an extremely simple and plain language of the lowly elect seeds of God, who are majorly poor and uneducated, but who are genuine lovers of the truth, thus ensuring unity in revelational understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17. This is the major divine attribute of the end time John, the builder of the Ark of Rapture, the evident fruit of his ministry. Full stop. Let me even add that it is not enough for the end time John to see what God has done through time and how God has moved in the earth, but as the end time John, he must also know exactly what all these moves have accomplished, what divine purpose they have served within God's great plan of salvation, bearing Christ's message of revelational completeness. This is a very important issue we have presented in our scribe, titled, God in the Laodicean Age, the year 2005, knowing the objective of God. Therefore, show us the man who has God's revealed ending plan of global redemption, for that is who gives us the end time John, under whose lead apostolic ministry, the elect word bright will be reborn, reproduced, and led straight into the rapture. Brothers and sisters, these are the divine fruits John must have, and these divine fruits is what he most certainly has, all by the investment of God's sovereign grace and elective love. Church, back at the end of the first world on our charts, Brother Amos points to the chart. There had to be Noah, a carpenter, to construct this ark of physical salvation, a wooden ark, for which reason God invested him with the blueprint of salvation. Similarly, today, at the end of the second world, equally on our charts, there also had to be a John, a lawyer, a scribe, to construct the ark of spiritual salvation, the ark of divine light, for which reason God also invested him with the ultimate blueprint of salvation. Saints of the living God, the God of truth, I am only showing you the major demand of the end of this end, because it demands an ending original seed apostolic lead ministry, bearing the ultimate blueprint of universal redemption, ordained for the rapture of the royal bride of Christ. So, please open your eyes and see something, as I am the voice of Revelation chapter 10, verse 11. I am the John. You must see the ending Gentile scribe of Jesus Christ, the rapture ark builder, because the end-time Apostle Paul saw it and was exceedingly glad. In true appreciation of the investment of God's grace, the gift of writing, which is this scribe ministry, he saw in me, after I had taken a message at Faith Assembly during the Spring Convention of April 2004, Brother Jackson suddenly came to see me at the fellowship hall. At the material time, my wife and I were sitting, just relaxing, when he entered unexpectedly. He greeted us and gave me a good bear hug, saying in the presence of my wife, as he held me in the close embrace, "The way you present truth is very good. Brother Amos, I want you to know I have read books. I have read the Anti-Nicene Fathers. If only they had a man like you." In addition, after the convention, we stayed back, and the following Sunday, May the 2nd, 2004, Brother Jackson was the one that preached. James Allen then asked me to close the service and told me if I had anything to say, I could say it, to the hearing of everyone on the platform, including James Allen, Bob Thompson, and all the musicians, directly from his seat. The chief apostle said to me, "Brother Amos, I want you to know we are glad to have you. It is a privilege to know you. I thank God our paths crossed." Church, again, at the end of the following convention, the fall convention in September 2004, my wife and I had also stayed back. Brother Jackson asked me to preach during the midweek service on Thursday, September the 30th, 2004, my last ever message at Faith Assembly, before Brother Jackson passed away, and it was titled, "The Foundation of the Fivefold Ministry, Part 1. You can equally watch this video message on our website. Immediately after the service was over, Brother Jackson asked my wife and I to stand at the back of the church, so the brethren could greet us as they vacated the hall. Brother Jackson also came and stood between us. Turning to me, he said, "We have seen the blacks excel in the field of sports, and in all entertainment, but in this way of revealed faith, they are just not there. It is so good to see God use a black man like this." When we got back to our room, and I told my wife what Brother Jackson had said to me, she replied that he had told her the very same thing. I give these undeniable public testimonies, because you should be able to see what the chief apostle saw, a scribe ministry, one that is beyond the class of the Anti-Nicene Fathers. For we are looking squarely at the original apostolic class the Anti-Nicene Fathers also looked back to. In short, Raymond Jackson saw an original seed apostolic scribe, the ending Gentile scribe of Jesus Christ, the rapture ark builder. And oh, how glad he was. Church, having presented to you the ending apostolic lead ministry of John, and the Lord's divine objectives for this end time of redemption, ordained for the harvesting of only original seeds, the rapturing of the royal word bride, all from the Holy Scriptures, I will now conclude my message with a number of quotes. They are key quotes, material prophetic quotes, given by both the end time Elijah and the chief apostle, the end time Paul, including prophecies given by the Holy Ghost, all in this same regard. Brothers and sisters, I have purposely left out from this scribe message the consideration of material parable, holding a pertinent truth, a mystery of the kingdom, recorded in Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, on the three consecutive household scribes having the end time John as its third and last household scribe, the household scribe of conclusion. I have also left out a key Bible prophetic passage, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, relating to the readers, he that readeth, which also has John, as its third and final reader. The point is, if you cannot see John chapter 21, verse 22, together with Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11, it is certainly not Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, and Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, you will see. Speaking strictly from the perspective of setting forth this truth by the Holy Scriptures, I hope you know that I have finished my message, titled, The Major Demand of the End. It is to show you the Lord's rapture move, which is this move of John, and I thank you all for your patience. Church, now, all I want to do is to show you what both the star messenger and the chief apostle to this Laodicean age have said about me in their messages, for they both spoke of me, giving the message movement prophetic declarations or quotes, which perfectly, solidly, and irrevocably align with the Holy Scriptures we have set forth relating to the major demand of this end of humankind. In addition, I will present key prophecies of the Holy Ghost speaking specifically about this move of John, in fulfillment of the infallible promise Jesus Christ gave in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. Remember, God sent the Elijah prophet of Malachi chapter 4 verse 6b to call out the elect bride element from spiritual Babylon, the entire world of organized religion, and as we speak today, the prophet is gone, but the royal bride of Christ is still here, waiting to be thoroughly washed and beautifully adorned to be in a ready spiritual state for the mystical return of Christ on the day of rapture. Just as Brother John Fernandez stated in his message that the Branham movement do not believe Brother Branham, I too have to add that the Jackson movement clearly also do not believe Brother Jackson. This is precisely why they can comfortably walk over an extremely key divine instruction he gave them, brazenly and willfully trampling over the way forward. He showed all the followers of his message a continuity in April 2004, before he passed away in December 2004. It is just as our Lord Jesus Christ told the religious leaders of the children of Israel, the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees in John chapter 5, verses 45 to 47, publicly declaring, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, truly believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Exactly. They did not truly believe Moses, whom they paroted like battery-operated zombies, for they were just a pack of raw unbelievers and chronic idolaters. Hence, they used the ministry of a dead man, Moses, to condemn, deny, and reject the living ministry of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the promised Messiah, whom the same message of Moses spoke about. The mainstream message movement are exactly in the same rut, for they are exactly like the children of Israel back then, and is a reason they to use the ministry of a dead man, William Branham, to condemn, deny, and reject the ministry of the end-time Apostle Paul, Raymond Jackson, as well as that of the end-time Apostle John, two end-time apostolic fathers of Malachi chapter 4 verse 6b. Their highly apostate and idolatrous attitude is the very reason the message movement had to come under serious scrutiny in Christendom, and are regarded and also referred to as a cult. However, what the apostate religious world do not understand, including the message movement, is that the message of Elijah, which the Branham movement think they have, is just a shell, a mere shell. Because the life of the message, the life in the message of Elijah, has been taken, completely stripped, and invested in the present and concluding light of Jesus Christ, right in this apostolic message of completeness. That is precisely why the Branham movement is in such an incredible state of apostasy, total apostasy, so much so that they have led Christendom into the great falling away. Just how can such gross unbelievers and raw idolaters see or believe whatever William Branham spoke about me? To think that similarly, William Branham also spoke of Raymond Jackson, and in turn, Raymond Jackson equally spoke of me. Furthermore, both Brother Branham and Brother Jackson spoke of me. They both spoke about my ending apostolic lead ministry. And it is those very quotes where they spoke of me we now want to consider. Saints, seeing that we are back in the days of original seed apostles, for apostolic days are back. Therefore, I will speak with plainness of speech, apostolic plainness, on account of the apostolic authority invested in me. Take it or leave it. The point is, if Apostle Paul could tell the world exactly how God called him, and the precise ministry position the Lord gave him, within his great plan of global redemption, stating exactly what the Lord was using him to accomplish, as the apostle of the Gentiles, the wise master builder, the foundation layer for the Gentiles, and as a man who had been established or set for the defense of the gospel, I too can do the same. Philippians chapter 1 verse 17, Romans chapter 11 verse 13, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 10 to 11. In the same vein, Apostle John, knowing that he held the end in written standard of the true revealed faith of Jesus Christ, in that first age of Christendom, openly declared with respect to himself and Apostle Paul, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, plainly confessing, we are of God, and consequently, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, and the spirit of error. And if Apostle John, who held the end in original apostolic standard in the first age of Christendom, being the last original seed apostolic God, could make such a declaration, then I can too, because the standard of God and the justice of God is one. It is not being proud, neither does it amount to boasting, it is simply a divine fact. Because the perfect and unchanging God Almighty has to use someone somewhere to lead the royal seeds of Abraham, the universal nation of the Gentile bride of Jesus Christ, directly to the rapture. Almighty God has to use someone somewhere in his ending move, geared specially and specifically for the rapture. There is a preparation the universal royal bride has on earth for the rapture. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back solely for a fully prepared body, for there is a preparation the royal bride of Christ has to make on earth as a global body, the elect universal nation of the royal bride. That is precisely what this move of John is all about. Believe me, brothers and sisters, you most certainly want to join yourself to this chariot. Acts chapter 8 verse 29. For someone somewhere has to be the end time John. Consequently, it is either you respect and believe the Holy Bible, or you do not. It is either you see the truth, or you do not see it. It is either you have a divine revelation of God's great plan of global redemption, which clearly conveys an ending plan, or you are totally devoid of the revelation of Almighty God. Period. Let us see what Brother Branham stated prophetically, and please note that all these quotes relate strictly to the ending apostolic lead ministry, and all devolve squarely upon the apostolic lead ministry of the very end, the end of universal redemption. You claim to believe Brother Branham. Then, you need to believe him now, because the quotes we want to read, but are on God's sending plan of redemption, which the Holy Bible gives us. So, if you believe Brother Branham, you need to believe him now, because this is not a game, and we are not here playing hide and seek, or peekaboo. We are most definitely not. Look at what the prophet said in 1960, in his message, titled, The Seven Church Ages, and it will do you good to listen very carefully. Now, when is the gospel returning to the Jews? When the day of the Gentiles is finished, the gospel is ready to go back to the Jews. Then Brother Branham began to rejoice in the Spirit, because of the great prophetic insight, the serious revelational insight, he was given by the Spirit of God, which he now wanted to give to the movement. Without spelling it out, he plainly declaring, oh, if I could just tell you something that is about to happen right in this day, right in this same Laodicean age. This great thing, a great ministry, that is about to happen will carry you over to Revelation 11, being a connecting ministry, and pick up or connect with those two witnesses, those two prophets, to modern-day Jewish prophets to come, Moses and Elijah, turning the gospel back to the Jews. We're ready for it. Everything is in order. As the Jews brought the message of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, which was precisely what Apostle Paul did right after Apostle Peter had first made the Gentile connection, opening the door of salvation to the Gentiles. Even so, the Gentiles will take it right back to the Jews, which is precisely what Apostle John will do at this end time, making the Jewish connection, reopening the door of salvation to the Jews, and the rapture will come. Brothers and sisters, if you cannot see that the ending apostolic lead ministry of John, the ministry of completion, is this great thing, the connecting lead ministry, I cannot help you. Because John chapter 21, verse 22, Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11, together with Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, are staring you right in the face. For exactly what can carry the royal word bride over to the hour of the two Jewish witnesses, prophets Moses and Elijah, conveyed in Bible prophecy, recorded in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 to 12. If not the end in lead apostolic guard of the Gentile word bride, who is John? Come on, church, in this solid Bible-based quote of Brother Branham, we are looking squarely at the promised ministry of the end time John, period. When we come to Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, what do we see there? We see the standard or the plumb line, the reed, in the hand of Apostle John, representing the end time John. In 96 AD, St. John was instructed to rise and measure the temple of God in Jerusalem, which has been non-existent since 70 AD, and the altar, and them that worship therein. This prophetic verse of scripture gives us in a very deep and complex prophetic imagery the Jewish connection where John is used to restore true worship in Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel before Moses and Elijah commenced their ministry to that nation. In other words, and in true spiritual effect through this passage of scripture, the Spirit of the Lord will use the end time John to open the door of salvation to the Jews, a door that had been shut against them, following their rejection of the gospel in the first age of Christendom. The gospel was then turned over to us Gentiles, making it a Gentile gospel, producing a Gentile bride for Jesus Christ, our Joseph. It is just as Apostle Peter was used to open the door of salvation to the Gentiles in the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, before the ministry of Apostle Paul, the bearer of the light of Christ for the Gentiles, was later set in motion. Anyone interested in knowing this truth, please be informed that we have many scribes dealing with this crucial prophetic event concealed in Revelation chapter 11, verse 1, such as our scribe titled John, the foundation and the plumb line, and our scribe titled the Jewish connection, etc. For this great thing is nothing other than the end in lead ministry of John, full stop, with the carryover being done, meaning with the Jewish connection being made by John. Brother Branham then declared categorically, and the rapture will come. This prophetic quote, saints of God, confirms that indeed the Jewish connector, the ending apostolic lead ministry of John, is who leads us directly into the rapture. For Apostle John is truly the end type of Enoch, the Joshua of completion and the possession of glory land, heaven. This great prophetic divine fact about John, which Brother Branham clearly saw, was what made him so ecstatic in the day when he spoke about this great thing that is about to happen, right in this day. What a serious prophetic posting ahead that was, because the prophet saw the ministry of completion and the possession of glory land, although he was not permitted to spell it out, to nail it on the head, so that the acceptance and the followership of the ministry of the end time John would be strictly by divine revelation, period. Then again, still in the same message, titled The Seven Church Ages, in 1960, William Branham stated prophetically, now I want you to be very careful here and see this. God has promised that at the end time Malachi 4 is going to be fulfilled. Brother Branham was referring to his own ministry. It has to be, for it is the spirit-quickened word of God spoken by the prophet Malachi. Jesus referred to it. It is just before Christ comes the second time. By the time Jesus comes, all scripture must be fulfilled, including Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 to 11. The Gentile dispensation will be in its last church age. When the messenger of Malachi comes, Brother Branham was still referring to himself. He, Elijah, Brother Branham, will be right with the word. He, Elijah, Brother Branham, will take the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. He, Elijah, William Branham, will start at the serpent seed and carry on to the messenger in the latter rain. Brothers and sisters, we know William Branham is dead, and that the latter rain is still ahead of the bride, being the fruit ripening rain, and hence, the harvesting rain, because it is where the elect bride will bear her fruits, and the point when she will then be raptured. Therefore, I ask you, who is the messenger in the latter rain? Just who can the messenger in the latter rain be? Saints of God, this quote speaks of me, as I am the messenger in the latter rain, for this quote devolves squarely on none other than the ministry of the end-time John, the original apostolic lead ministry of completion and the possession of glory land. Please remember, you cannot have a messenger without a message, and we're looking strictly at the message of completeness, revelational completeness. And neither can you have the message of completeness without a carrier, without the messenger of completeness, the eater of the entire scroll of redemption, the vessel of Jesus Christ, bearing revelational completeness. Because the latter rain of God will fall, and it will confirm and vindicate the word of God, the truth of God, and make it live, for the pure and non-adulterated word of God is the seed of the royal word bride. Therefore, the bearer of the ultimate standard of truth in this third and final move of God for the unity and perfection of the royal bride in full preparation for the rapture is the messenger in the latter rain. Now deny that. Fight this truth. The latter rain, most undoubtedly, is a rain that will carry the bride back to glory, for this move is strictly for the rapture. You must realize, therefore, as the children of light, as the eagles of God, the seed of the latter rain, the divine seed that alone can and will produce the latter rain, a most magnificent and unprecedented rain, a divine tsunami, is a super seed, the super seed word. You are looking squarely at the super seed of the word of God, which is precisely what the Lord God Almighty, in His sovereign and elective love and mercy, has given me to bear for the universal nation of the royal bride, as the eater of the entire scroll of redemption. This is where it all ends, and for this fundamental reason, there is a mega anointing coming just down the road to cap or seal this great work, and it is the latter rain. Church, make no mistake about it. This is a move that will produce the latter rain, because Jehovah God is coming to confirm His word on a scale the world has never seen. Do not forget, as I must keep reiterating, the pure and unparalleled seed of the word is the divine seed that alone can produce the super seed royal word bride. The measure of the magnitude of the divine revelation the royal word bride possesses is the measure of the magnitude of the anointing that will confirm her truth. This will lead me to say this, and please hear me loud and clear. If the world could come in their droves to Lagos, Nigeria, because of Aleti.B, Joshua of the Synagogue Church of All Nations, who bore no revelation of any truth, a total stranger to God's revealed ending plan of universal redemption, you must know that the world will come to Lagos, Nigeria, on account of the ending and unprecedented apostolic miraculous, supernatural glory of the end-time John. Because at the end of global redemption, El Elyon, the Most High God, is going to vindicate His word, the Holy Scriptures, the message of eternal redemption, the message of immortality, God's great plan of eternal salvation, on a scale that will totally mesmerize and stupefy the world, who are nothing but skeptics, unbelievers, God-haters, and blasphemers. It is a scale that will also make all these so-called message leavers, may online noisemakers and glory seekers realize that they have missed it big time, as God's stupendous leave indicates the Bible restoring message of Elijah, William Branham, on a supernatural level before the world as never before. Hence, a much greater apostolic glory is most certainly coming for this royal word bride, one that outclasses what is conveyed in the book of Acts, being the end in glory, one that gives us an unparalleled apostolic glory. We have brought up this subject in our scribe titled Latter Rain and also in our scribe titled The Acts of the Apostles, writing the last chapter, as well as in our scribe titled Where Are We? The Apostolic Teaching Phase. In a third prophetic quote, still speaking with strict reference to the end time John, the messenger in the latter rain and the apostolic lead ministry of completion, in his message dated March 1963, titled The First Seal, William Branham proclaimed, and at the end of the Pentecostal age, at the end of the Laodicean age, we are supposed to receive according to the word, as God helped me tonight to show you through here that we are in the future to see, receive a messenger, a singular and particular messenger that will take all those loose ends out there in the message of Elijah and reveal the whole secret of God, bearing the complete revelation of Christ, the Bible message of completeness, specifically for the rapturing of the church, and then, or after which, there is coming forth seven mysterious thunders that's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that, through those seven thunders, will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There is something that has to come. We've got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed, bodily, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and be swept up out of this earth, in the rapture, at the mystical return of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 57. Since the season of the rapture is when we will have the seven prophetic thunders, who will still have Apostle John in the lead, as the lead thunder. For anyone interested in the great prophetic subject of the seven thunders, amongst many scribes, please study our scribe titled The Seven Prophetic Thunders, because it lays out everything about the thunders. Brothers and sisters, when we consider this third quote of William Branham, where he declared prophetically and most categorically that we are to see, receive a messenger that will take all those loose ends out there and reveal the whole secret of God, specifically, for the rapturing of the church, you are looking squarely at God's modality for the rapture. For there is a modality for the rapture of a universal body of elect seeds of God. Even Elijah the Tishbite had modalities for his translation, a divine leadership he followed, to the very day, and to the very spot ordained for his translation. Furthermore, and more importantly, you cannot take this extremely crucial prophetic quote away from the man who is the eater of the entire scroll of redemption, the end time John. What is more, brothers and sisters, the evident fruits of a man's ministry, which are the undeniable divine accomplishments of a man, is precisely what confirms his position within God's great plan of universal redemption. Consequently, I have to say, and I say this by the sheer grace of Almighty God, there is no balance of loose ends in the message of Elijah that I have not tied perfectly and scripturally. What is more, all have been laid out in the Scribe magazines, a medium which conveys all the Bible truths of the end-time Gentile Elijah, William Branham, including all the Bible truths of the end-time Paul, Raymond Jackson, plus the present and concluding Bible light of Jesus Christ, the fresh carcass of the Word of Christ. That is precisely what this apostolic teaching phase of John has been all about. Open your eyes and see something. It is just like one evangelist, Buford Dowell, testified about William Branham on YouTube. He said, but he, Brother Branham, said, another season is coming, following the healing revival of the late 40s through to the late 50s, and this season is going to be teaching, and the revelation of the word, the unveiling of the pure word of life, in this apostolic teaching phase. That is exactly what has been going on for the past near 58 years, beginning from the chief apostolic ministry of the late Raymond Jackson to that of the current end-time lead apostle John. This original seed apostolic teaching phase began precisely in 1966, and today in 2024, what a light the Spirit of God has given to us. The continuity light input of the end-time apostle Paul spanned 39 solid years, 1966 to 2004, whilst the continuing and concluding input of the end-time Apostle John has spanned over 19 solid years thus far, beginning from 2005. That was why we produced a message in the scribe titled Caught in the Laodicean Age. The year 2005, we have had about 58 solid years of the original seed apostolic teaching phase, and what a marvelous light of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible we have received in all these years. What an awesome light of Jesus Christ we are basking in, whilst in total contrast, apostate Christendom lies in total spiritual darkness, gross and palpable spiritual darkness, completely shut out from the fountain of the Word, the fountain of the revealed faith of Jesus Christ, as they have been totally ravaged by severe famine in the land, for hearing the word of everlasting life, having absolutely no clue about the Holy Scriptures. Brothers and sisters, in yet another testimony he gave on YouTube, Buford Dowell equally stated, reiterating this divine fact, and he, William Branham, said, this healing revival, which was spearheaded by William Branham, setting in motion the dragnet parable of Matthew 13, is coming to a close, and it has long closed. A new season will come of the revelation of Christ, and the understanding of the Bible, in what measure, and on what level, like the church hasn't seen since Pentecost, in its ending application. Brothers and sisters, this quote or declaration gives us the opening up of the original apostolic word of Christ. We are looking strictly at the apostolic unveiling of the pure Bible light of Jesus Christ by the end time John, like never before, since the days of Apostles Paul and John in the first age of Christendom. And this apostolic teaching move of the Spirit of God through the end time John is precisely what has given us this unparalleled light of the word of Christ, Christ's message of revelational completeness. It is also by this original seed apostolic move that we have been enabled by the Spirit of God to build the ark of Jesus Christ, the ark of rapture. In the fourth prophetic quote of the largest messenger to this Laodicean age that we will now consider, speaking specifically about the coming racial change in the carriage of the gospel on the 15th of January 1963, in a highly instructive sermon titled Accepting God's Provided Way at the End Time, William Branham made a very crucial and pivotal prophetic proclamation. We must realize that by this prophetic declaration, it is the Spirit of God fulfilling His word, showing us exactly what was to come, posting us ahead prophetically in this last age of Christendom. John chapter 16, verses 12 to 13. During the prayer line, when the angel of God had descended into the meetings, Brother Branham then declared, now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I take this audience under my control, but for the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you, as believers, don't you move, sit still, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that I'm here to make known His works and His ways, standing here at this end time, that we might know the current mind of the Spirit of Christ, exactly what the Lord intends to do here on earth, and precisely how. Now listen to this, for the prophet confessed, I've been very reluctant on these things, the 16 years I've been on the field. And exactly what did William Branham hold in his heart for that long, for the 16 solid years, that he did not reveal, that he did not divulge? What was he very reluctant to reveal? He gave this divine secret of God to us, declaring in very plain and categorical terms, for anyone who has ears to hear, what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches, plainly revealing, but there's an hour coming now when something is fixing to take place. The message of Jesus Christ of the New Testament, in its major carriage, will go to another nation, another people, meaning another race, and this is the Hamitic race, the black race, the lineage of Ham. Full stop. This is to allow the race of Ham to bear their major input in the carriage of the gospel of eternal life by taking over the driver's seat in this final leg to the rapture of the royal bride, the Shemitic race having borne all the oracles of God, and the Japhetic race, the white race, having evangelized the world in six long church ages. Brothers and sisters, the incredible racial hatred, racism, racial prejudice that exists today on earth against the lineage of Ham, especially towards the black race, is the very reason Brother Branham found it extremely difficult to tell Christendom what was to come, and as such, he held this key truth of God in his heart for 15, 16 years. In the end, he had to reveal it, and he revealed it because it devolved squarely upon God's racial logistics at the same time. For the final carriage of the gospel of eternal life as a racial carriage of the gospel was going to change. As I stated earlier, it is to allow the race of Ham to bear their major input by carrying the gospel of eternal life as the ark builders in this rapture move. So, open your eyes, see something, and wake up. Just why do you think we have a scribe team? Just see the great work the Lord has established in Africa today, for it is ongoing. After all, we do not have any scripture which promises us the input of Japheth, declaring specifically that the lineage of Japheth, the Japhetic race, would carry the gospel throughout the six church ages, via six star messengers, plus the minor messengers. There is no such scripture. Yet, that is exactly the race God used to evangelize the world in six church ages, beginning from Saint Polycarp, who was a disciple of Apostle John, in the first church age, to Saint Irenaeus, the star messenger to the second church age, right up to William Branham and Raymond Jackson in this seventh and last age of Christendom. We only have scriptures which set forth in absolute terms and with absolute clarity the input of Shem in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, where it records, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly or principally, majorly, because that unto them, the Jews, who are Shemites, were committed the oracles of God, right from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, period. The major input of the Gentiles is only implied because we have scriptures which show that God would turn towards Gentiles, indirectly showing that the carriage of the gospel of Christ would also go to the Gentiles. Look at it in the book of Acts chapter 15, in verses 13 to 14, the Holy Bible records. "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, to take out of them a people for his name, meaning, a people who will possess his saving revelation, thus becoming his people, shutting out the Jews." In verses 15 to 18, Apostle James continued, declaring, "And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return, when God's dealing with the Gentiles ends or concludes, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men, elect men, around the globe, might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, seeth the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God and all his works from the beginning of the world." Brothers and sisters, this passage of scripture necessarily connotes, implies, that the Gentiles will carry the gospel message. The Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 21 reinforces this truth, where Jesus declared in verse 43, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, Jews, the children of Israel, and given to a nation, the Gentile universal nation of the bride, bringing forth the fruits thereof." This had to be after the Jews had first been used to give us Gentiles all the New Testament oracles of God, because the scripture cannot be broken. Romans chapter 3 verses 1 to 2. John chapter 10 verse 35. This scripture, therefore, equally indirectly and necessarily means that the Gentiles, who now make up the kingdom of God, the church, will handle or bear the gospel message and everything pertaining to the kingdom to enable them to produce the fruits God desires, the fruits thereof, the divine fruits of the kingdom. This to pass our use of Holy Scripture, Acts chapter 15, verse 14, and Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, without a doubt, confirms that the revelation of God, the message of global redemption, will be carried by the Gentiles, having been taken from the nation of Israel, but only after the entire oracles of the Holy Bible had first been written by the Jews. The material question is, exactly why did God turn to the Gentiles to get out of them an elect people for his name? The book of Romans chapter 3, verse 29, gives us the divine answer, clearly declaring, is he, Elohim, the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Therefore, God, being the God of all creation, wants to have a universal family, body, of redeemed children, made up of both Jews and Gentiles, meaning from every race, nation, tribe, and tongue. After all, we all have the same one blood origin, whatever our race, color, and nationality may be, even as it is infallibly written in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, about Almighty God, and hath made of one blood of Noah all nations of men, as God's human flower garden, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. The bottom line, saints of God, is that Almighty God is also the God of the Gentiles, and not of the Jews only. And as we all know, the Gentiles are predominantly made up of both the lineage of Ham as well as the lineage of Japheth, two of the three sons of Noah. In spite of this undeniable fact about the racial constitution of the Gentiles being a notorious fact, brothers and sisters, the lineage of Japheth alone have borne the gospel in the six long church ages. Brothers and sisters, I now have to ask, seeing that the Gentile elects whom God spoke about in Baba prophecy takes in both the seeds of Ham and the seeds of Japheth, exactly where are you going to put the input of Ham? Yet, of the two major races of the Gentiles, Ham and Japheth, only the Japhetic race has borne a great and phenomenal input, carrying the gospel for the world in six church ages, being in the driver's seat for that long. In total contrast, the Hamitic race have not carried the gospel for the world, except in this current leg for the universal bride of Jesus Christ, this third and last leg we have in the Laodicean age, right here in this seventh and final age of Christendom. Consequently, you do not need any scripture to prove that the Japhetic race were foreordained to carry the gospel in the major way they have done, because we can all see the footprints of God in the earth in this regard. We can all see precisely what God has done and exactly how he has accomplished it. And it is the solid and unequivocal proof of God's perfect will regarding the input of the lineage of Japheth. You cannot deny reality, most especially God's accomplishment on earth, being a notorious fact that needs no proving. After all, you do not need any scripture to prove precisely how God has moved in the earth in the Gentile dispensation of grace, because it is general knowledge, meaning that it is common knowledge, being in the past. Moreover, how the Lord God has moved in the earth is an undeniable and irrefutable proof of his will. In the same vein, you do not need any scripture to spell out the input of Ham. As I stated earlier, there is no scripture which states that the lineage of Japheth will carry the gospel for the duration of six church ages, and yet, that is exactly what God has done. Consequently, you also do not need a scripture stating that the lineage of Ham will bear the gospel in its last leg to the rapture. You just need to open your eyes and see the light. See something. See what God is currently doing in the earth even as we speak, and quit your unbelief. If you can truly see the very principal place or position the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham and Japheth, occupied in God's plan of salvation in Genesis, and just how both lineages of Shem and Japheth have also been used through time in the grace age in a major way, you ought to also see the need for the principal place or position of the lineage of Ham standing here at the same time as the unchanging God wraps up his great plan of universal redemption. For as it is infallibly written, God is not only the God of the Jews, but he is also the God of the Gentiles. This simply means in divine essence that Elohim is a God of both Ham and Japheth, a divine fact which necessitates the input of Ham, the Spirit of God having enabled the input of Japheth, following the input of Shem. Come on! If you have any revelation knowledge, of God's great plan of universal redemption, you must know that there has to be the input of Ham. That is precisely why, as the end time John, it is my place to show you the current mind of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It is my place to inform you, saints of God, the children of light, that these are the days of the input of Ham. The material question, however, is, will you accept God's provided will this end time? That is the critical issue, because without controversy, these are the days of the input of Ham. Because the ending move of God, designed to produce the original seed royal word bride, has been reserved exclusively for the input of Ham. This is the very reason the end time John is an African from Nigeria, Africa. The tabernacles of Ham, for he is from the lineage of Ham, a son of Ham. The crucial need for the input of Ham, the crucial need for Ham to bear his major input in the grace age, is the precise reason Almighty God foreordained that an African will be the builder of the ark of the royal bride, the ark of heaven, the ark of rapture. The Lord God Almighty is wrapping up his great plan of universal redemption with the input of Ham. It is God's masterstroke and a serious stone of offense, a stumbling move of God on account of the great racial prejudice that rules this incredibly evil and non-believing world, a godless generation. Brothers and sisters, I lay before you a clear truth of the end of the second world, this end time, and it is a truth we have laid out in our book titled The Input of Ham, which we have also laid out in our scribe bearing the same title. Please remember, however, that this is not about black power. It has absolutely nothing to do with such carnal, oppression-driven nonsense. Neither does this have anything to do with white supremacy, which is just another carnal, ego-driven nonsense. It is all about the input of Ham, laid out in God's great plan of eternal redemption, the same as the inputs of both Shem and Japheth. Period. In addition, we have dealt with this important end-time subject in our scribe, titled, Ham is in the Covenant, as well as in our scribe, titled, The Hour of Gold. In essence, I am simply saying that what we are facing and experiencing today, the marvelous and unparalleled light of the Holy Scriptures, that is shining out from Africa to all the nations of the Royal Bride of Christ as we speak, clearly proves that of a truth, we are living in the days of the input of Ham. As we stated in our scribe, titled, The Sun and the Gospel Movement, wherever the sun is, there is light, brilliant light, absolute light, because the sun only gives light, and nothing but light. The sun is most unmistakable and undeniable, for the sun is what gives the entire planet Earth the daylight. What is more, in a fifth prophetic quote we will consider, giving us, in God's numerology, the number of grace, the Spirit of God inspired William Branham to set forth the input of Ham in an extremely serious way, nailing it right on the head, leaving the entire Branham movement without any excuse. On August 2, 1964, in his message, titled, The Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom and the Earthly Bride, giving us a very crucial and pivotal witness of the input of Ham, the input of John, Brother Branham stated prophetically in paragraphs 510 to 513, just a little while, will be summoned, then the rapture will come. Just a little bitty group, like Enoch, will be taken up. Then, the remnant of the woman's seed, that keep the commandments of God, Jews, have the testimony of Jesus Christ, Gentile, will be hunted down like dogs, and shall give their life for their testimony. Then, one great morning, the break of the millennium, the honeymoon will start, and then the rest of the dead lived not to the end of the 1,000 years. Then, at the end of the 1,000 years, there was a judgment, showing that Ham was in the ark, and Ham is still there in the remnant. Ones that heard it and rejected it will have to be judged. Since, having laid out the quote, I will now give you its perfect revelational application in its absolute divine breakdown. The prophet stated, just a little while, will be summoned, then the rapture will come. Just a little bitty group, like Enoch, will be taken up in the rapture. Then, the remnant of the woman's seed, that keep the commandments of God, Jews, have the testimony of Jesus Christ, Gentiles, will be hunted down like dogs, and shall give their life for their testimony. That will be during the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. Then, one great morning, before the break of the millennium, the honeymoon will start, and then the rest of the dead lived not to the end of the 1,000 years. Simply meaning that they will miss the millennial reign of the righteous, under Christ the King. Now please look at this next part, and do not fail to catch this. Then, at the end of the 1,000 years of the millennium, there was a judgment, the white throne judgment, showing that Ham was in the ark of Noah, and Ham is still there in the remnant, in the elect bride remnant, as the principal ministry of the end, the builder of the ark of heaven, the rapture ark, for all those elected to make up the royal word bride, right here at this end time. Saints, for you to see that my breakdown is perfect and untouchable, for it is the absolute truth, the prophet now earnestly warned, warns all people that heard it, that heard the concluding message of Jesus Christ, the message of completeness, which the end time John from the lineage of Ham is bearing, and rejected it will have to be judged at the white throne judgment. Think seriously about that. The question is, just how can they be judged? And why will they be judged? On account of Ham simply being a mere part of the remnant, if not for the fact that Ham is bearing the final standard of Jesus Christ, the ultimate blueprint of universal redemption, which is the ark. Come on! It is absolutely on account of their rejection of Christ's message of completeness that John Ham bears is precisely what they will be judged, having also first missed the millennial reign of Christ. That is just how serious and extremely critical this move of John from the lineage of Ham is. You had better wake up and see the light, for I will tell you now, there is no other interpretation or projection that will make any sense. So, open your eyes and see something. Otherwise, you will be very sorry down the road. Do not forget, Jesus Christ promised us in John chapter 16, verses 12 to 13, that the Comforter, who is the Spirit of truth, will show us the things of Christ to come, to let us know exactly what the Spirit of Christ is doing today, in this last day, right here in this Laodicean age of Christendom. Do not know, in the face of the abundance of the apostolic light of John, is clear evidence that the Spirit of God is certainly not dealing in your life, but rather, you have either been sidelined or simply left on the shelf to die and rot, all out of the unbelief that rules in your heart. Full stop. For as it is written, if you truly desire to do the perfect will of God, you will know precisely what God is doing on earth, right here and now, in furtherance and in conclusion of His great plan of salvation for the royal bride of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. It is clearly written in the Gospel of St. John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine, or teaching, is not mine, but His, who is God, that sent me. Now look at verse 17. If any man will do his will, meaning that if anyone, deep down in his soul, truly desires to do God's perfect will, he shall know of the doctrine, or teaching, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself, because God will let him see it. Exactly. Skepticism, or the unbelief of the word, or insincerity of heart, invites and incurs an entirely different divine treatment. Period. Church, without controversy, the end time John, the seed of Ham, in Lagos, Nigeria, Africa, is now carrying the message of the cross on its last leg to the mystical return of Christ, meaning to the rapture, just as Sagman, a Cyrenian, a man from Libya, Africa, bore the cross of Christ on its last leg to Calvary. Luke chapter 23 verse 26. Hence, in this hour of great and unparalleled apostasy, when there is acute famine in the land, for hearing the word of truth, the true word of God, where all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean, there is food, good and abundant food, fresh manna, in the storehouse of God in Africa, in the lighthouse of our Joseph, the end time John. Do not forget, Joseph was used by God to lift a standard against the grievous famine that ravaged the world in his day when our roads led to Egypt in Africa. He alone bore the divine revelation that produced the storehouse and was responsible for Egypt becoming the breadbasket for the world. Genesis chapter 41 verses 54 to 57. Saints of God, if you did not know this before, know it today. The Lord God Almighty has once again made Africa the breadbasket for the universal nation of the royal bride, just as he did in the days of Joseph. I am simply showing you from the message of Elijah precisely what the Spirit of God is doing before your very eyes, right here at this end time, in this ending move, which is strictly a rapture move. You are at total liberty to do with this truth whatever you will. So, please, make your stand. It is written in Job chapter 34, verse 3, "For the ear treeth words, as the mouth tasteth meat." In other words, as the equals of God, the children of light, you should be able to see the truth when it projects, because when deep calls, deep is expected to respond, and deep always responds. After all, as the wise virgins of Jesus Christ, the royal word bride, the pure and incorruptible seed of the word of God, is our DNA, our spiritual constitution. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. Consequently, it is utterly impossible for the royal word bride not to see the truth when it projects. And it is also totally impossible for them not to log on to the revealed truth of the Holy Scriptures when it is projected, because it is alive. Church, I can certainly give you other prophetic quotes of Elijah's the messenger to this Laodicean age, or relating to my ministry, prophetic quotes we have presented in various other scribe messages. Even so, the five quotes I have given in this particular scribe are more than enough, although I intend considering just one more quote of the prophet towards the end of this scribe series. I do not plan to give any more than the sixth quote, though I have more, particularly because I have a greater witness than that of William Branham, which is the supreme and overriding witness of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Revelation chapter 10 verses 8 to 11. Revelation chapter 11 verse 1, and John chapter 21 verse 22, etc. In addition, my works, which are the great works Jesus Christ has given me to finish, the same works that I am doing in this scribe, which is the peerless, unrivaled light, the Spirit of Jesus Christ has commissioned me to bear, which has brought unity of the faith to the elect bride of Christ around the globe, and is giving them divine focus and direction in these extremely perilous times, are all the evident fruits of my ending apostolic lead ministry. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. The major demand of the end, particularly at the end of this second world, is a rapture move with a chosen vessel of light, the new at this end time, bearing the ultimate standard of Jesus Christ, the concluding divine blueprint of universal redemption. This gives us none other than Apostle John, of the lineage of Ham, the builder of the Ark of Glory Land, which is the Ark of Jesus Christ. And as the Ark of Noah was lifted up under the rain and by the rainwater, a megaphysical rainwater, so equally will the Ark of John be lifted up under the latter rain and by the latter rainwater, a mega supernatural rainwater, for he is the messenger in the latter rain. Saints of God, we will close our message right here, to conclude it in the next segment of the scribe, the Lord helping us, so we can do justice to this pivotal truth, because you must see what God is doing on earth today, right here at this end of time, or relating to the rapture. So, let me seriously warn, as a person professing to be a believer, particularly as a follower of the Bible restoring message of the end time Elijah, if you reject this divine ark, this matchless Bible light of Jesus Christ, you must go down spiritually, and you will definitely go down spiritually, for there is no stagnancy or vacuum in spirituality. If you are not progressing, you are most definitely retrogressing, and can only retrogress. Consequently, worldliness and carnality must and will take over your life, and all you will have is a mere profession, without the life, without a divine life, the evidence of death, spiritual death, becoming another dead carcass on the pathway of life. For all those who rejected the Ark of Noah perished, how much more will all those who reject the Ark of Heaven, the Ark of Christ, perish? You had better see the major demand of the end of this second world and also see this great walk that is leading straight into the rapture. You had better see the great walk Almighty God has established in the earth, giving us this rapture ark, Jesus Christ in His Bible message of completeness. After all, this is Holy Bible terrain, and you can censor this by the Holy Scriptures. Most especially, as I have spoken with great plainness of speech, all by the inspiration of the Spirit of Truth, as the Spirit of God, who inspired the writing of the Holy Bible, is here today, in this apostolic ministry, inspiring the unveiling of the written word. You have got to see God in something, so you do not blaspheme. The Lord bless you.